I wonder if you could turn in your Bible to Daniel chapter 8, and reading from verse 1 to verse 16. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in the vision, and it came to pass, when I saw, that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. And I lifted up mine eyes, and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward, and northward, and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a eagle came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved the collar against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself, even to the prince of the hosts, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice, by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall it be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sung for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Amen. The ram and the he-goat. The Bible tells us that the four nations or empires that will dominate the known earth before God's everlasting kingdom have been symbolized by the image which we saw in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Just a quick reminder, there are Babylon, the head of gold, Media, Persia, the chest and arms of silver, Greece, the belly and the thighs, Rome, the legs of iron. In chapter 7, during the first year of the reign of Belshazzar, we saw that Daniel had a dream and vision of the four Gentile kingdoms. They were represented by four beasts, and we were told, and we saw, that they were different in looks and nature. It was a dream which transported him from earthly surroundings into heavenly surroundings. And now in chapter 8, 2 years later, we see that he's troubled by another dream and vision. Vision of a ram and a goat. But around them is the sovereignty of God. It's a chapter that's full of vision, conflict, confusion, but there's also confidence. It's a chapter that should help strengthen our faith in a God who loves and cares for his people. So let's consider, if you like, the evidence. Verses 1 to 8 I've called Conflict of Earthly Kingdoms. Daniel, as we've seen, was a loyal, hard-working employee. And during the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, with Babylon still the dominant kingdom, we find Daniel ever faithful in his service, going about the king's business. When suddenly, in a vision, he is transported to Shushan, in the province of Elam, beside the river of Ulai. It's worth noting that Shushan was not yet the center of the Persian power. God revealed to Daniel the future capital before its actual establishment, demonstrating his sovereignty and therefore his perfect knowledge of all that is taking place and all that will take place. Daniel highlighted that this is his second vision. In verses 2, it says, after that which appeared unto me at the first. Daniel has been addressed as a prophet. His vision revealed the transition of world empires before they became a reality in history. The ram appears. Daniel lifted his eye and he sees a ram standing by the river. Remember, he's in the castle by the river Ulai. The ram has two horns, one higher than the other. This ram represents Medo-Persian Empire. The two horns symbolizing two kings, one from Media and one from Persia. As Daniel watches, one of the horns begins to grow and it became higher than the other. If you remember the bear, when it was lying down, one side was higher. Again, a representation of one of the kingdoms higher than the other, or dominating. And that was Persia, eventually became the dominant kingdom of the alliance. And in fact, the ram was a national emblem of Persia. The conquest of the ram. The ram went on what we might today call an irresistible conquest. We read that it charges westward, conquering Babylonia, Mesopotamia, Syria, Asia Minor. Then northward, conquering Armenia, Iberia, and regions of the Caspian Sea. And then southward, conquering Palestine, Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. Quite big expedition and successful. The massive army overwhelmed one kingdom after another. We read that it butted everything out of its way. No kingdom can stand before it. No kingdom could delay its progress. No one can save any of its victims. The ram did according to his will and became great. There's a lesson for those who pursue their evil ways, but there's also a lesson for those who put their trust in God. God is sovereign, and we forget or ignore that fact at our cost. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, but they don't do so by accident. It is by divine appointment. The goat's sudden arrival. As Daniel was considering the ram and its activities rampaging, the he-goat comes from the west. And we read, it moves so swiftly that it seemed not to touch the ground. This goat represents Greece, the third world empire. In Daniel 7, Greece was pictured as a leopard with four wings. Speed and agility, its characteristics. The goat, we read, had a notable horn between its eyes, symbolizing the first king of the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great. But there's something interesting about this goat. The number and location of the horn was unusual. Don't know how familiar you are with goats, but apparently goats have two horns, if you remember, and they are above the ears. Whereas we read here, the placement of a horn between the eyes suggests unusual intelligence and brilliance. A brilliance that was notable in Alexander's battle strategies. The goat overthrows the ram. The goat rushes at the ram with furious power. The closer it gets to the ram, the angrier it gets. It strikes the ram, breaks its two horns, and tramples upon it. No one can rescue the ram from the fury of the goat. Alexander began his campaign against Medo-Persia at the age of 22. History shows that his unmatched military genius enabled him to conquer the vast Persian Empire in just 3 years, as Daniel had foresaw. He was admired as a military genius, and by some as a living god. The great horn broken. Alexander became very great. However, suddenly, at the age of 32, he dies. A sovereign god raises up some at the appointed time, but he also brings them down at his appointed time. In Alexander's place, or in place of the horn that he represented, there really four horns pointing in four directions appeared. They represented the division of what was Alexander's appointment into four parts. They were Macedonia, Asia Minor, Syria, and Egypt. And these four divisions were ruled by four of Alexander's generals. It became a fragmented kingdom. They ruled with power, but not the same power as Alexander. The little horn. As the vision continues, Daniel sees a little horn emerging from one of the four horns of the goat. It was small at first, but gradually grew exceedingly great. The horn represents Antiochus IV, also known as Antiochus Epiphanes, and he was from the Syrian division of Alexander's empire. Antiochus expands his power south and east, and we read towards the beautiful land, the land of Israel. He attempts to conquer Egypt in his, if you like, excitement of power. Everything seems to be going his way. But his attempt on Egypt fails, and in his rage, he turns to Palestine, we read, with great fury. He invades Jerusalem, he plunders the temple, burns part of the city, and imposes pagan worship. Daniel sees the little horn grow up to the host of heaven and cast down some of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. In scripture, the faithful Jews are symbolized as stars. Antiochus persecutes and kills many righteous Jews. He commanded the Jews to substitute pagan worship of idols instead of worshipping Jehovah. He forbids circumcision, something that God had ordered the Jewish people to do. He burns copies of the scriptures. He stops temple sacrifices. He forces idolatry on the nation. And those who kept the law, and that's physically obeying it, and those who actually kept the book of the law were actually killed. This cruelty, if you like, is a preview or pattern of the final Antichrist figure who will arise at the end of the age. Daniel is distressed, but not because he cannot understand the symbols of his vision, because they will be explained by an angel. His distress is because he sees centuries of suffering for God's people, desecration of God's sanctuary, truth cast down to the ground. The little horn did enjoy success in his enforcement of his will, removing the regular sacrifice, desecrating God's temple, casting the truth to the ground. However, there is a sovereign God who is in control. Antioch is powerful, but there is one with greater power. Antiochus' time of rebellion is limited. God had a sovereign purpose in allowing or giving over the Jews to the sacrifice and suffering by Antiochus. Last week, Jonathan reminded us of the nations of Israel's failure to worship God. A disobedient people will experience the judgment of a righteous and sovereign God. The end of time for it hadn't arrived. The army of heaven was restrained from destroying the little horn for his transgression. As a result, truth and righteousness perished, and evil triumphed and prospered. Divine dialogue. Daniel heard one angel ask another, "How long will the little horn be able to carry on his transgressions, cessations of the daily sacrifices? How long until the desecration of the temple be avenged and God's people triumph?" The other angel answered that the transgression would last for 2,300 days. Then the temple would be restored. In 167 BC, Antiochus burned the pig on the altar in the court of the temple. For more than 3 years, desecration of the temple continued. This is the period of the 2,300 evenings and mornings discussed by the angel. Antiochus' persecution of the Jews and desecration of the temple actually lasted for a total period of between 6 and 7 years. As Daniel was trying to understand the meaning of his vision, suddenly a man was standing in front of him, or at least it looked like a man. Daniel heard a man's voice calling across the river, "Gabriel, tell Daniel the meaning of his dream." We've seen the rise and fall of kingdoms. It has happened in the past. It is happening today. And it will until the kingdom of God is established forever. We should never believe that evil has the last word. And the reason, a sovereign God rules. As believers, we are not exempt from opposition. However, we have the assurance that a superior God has the last word. God sees the suffering of his people. He measures the duration, and there is promise that there will be restoration. We've considered Daniel's vision. Daniel desired to understand his vision, and the sovereign God sent his messenger, Gabriel, to give him an understanding that will be revealed in the future. Don't miss the opportunity to find out what has been revealed. So what can we take away from what we have read today? Daniel 8 is not merely a record of the rise and fall of kingdoms, what we today might refer as political transitions. It's a revelation of a God who governs history. The ram conquers because God permits it. The goat triumphs because a sovereign God ordains it. The little horn persecutes, but only within the limits set by a sovereign God. As we continue our journey with our gracious and loving God, we can do so with confidence, because he is sovereign. May we be encouraged to always be faithful, whatever circumstances we may find ourselves in, knowing that the God we worship is a loving God. Let us not forget, he is also sovereign. Amen.